Welcome to Own It from Women Lead Change. I'm Mackenzie Caligiuri, Marketing Coordinator and Podcast Producer. On today's episode, CEO and host Tiffany O'Donnell talks to Carrie McCoy, CEO of ClickStop. ClickStop is known for rapid growth as well as its commitment to exceptional workplace culture, which has landed it numerous awards, including first place finishes as CBJ's Coolest Places to Work, recognition on Inc. magazine's list of fastest growing companies for 13 straight years, and multiple Iowa Top Workplaces awards. A Cedar Rapids native and co-college graduate, Carrie built her career in marketing, leaning into buyer psychology and content strategy before diving into sales and operations. Carrie is committed to continuing ClickStop's legacy by steering the company toward a bright future with a permanent hybrid on-site and remote workforce, trailblazing a new notion of great workplace culture through a commitment to employee ownership.
Carrie McCoy, thank you for joining us on the Own It podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
It's a treat. You and I had a chance to connect in a sort of informal ladies group. Which again, you just said it's hard to get a group of CEOs together at any point, but this group has been, you know, pretty good about getting together.
Yeah, it comes and goes in waves, but that's kind of the nature of being busy that also comes and goes in waves. So it's a nice treat when we do manage to get everybody together.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about, and we can talk a little bit about this with you personally too, it is so great to have a group of colleagues that aren't necessarily in your business, you know, your yes. industry. You all do very different work. There are so many things we have in common though. How important is it for you to have those types of outlets?
Very important. That group was such a special introduction for me, being invited to just even have a seat at the table. You look around and go, gosh, I'm surrounded by brilliant women, brilliant people who managed to do it all. As they say, they're running businesses. Some have children at home, either school age or they're graduated and adult kids. You know, they sit on boards, they volunteer. I mean, they really are just finding more hours in the day, you know, especially as a newer CEO and a mom to young girls. It was pretty cool to look around and go, okay, it is actually lonely. And you hear people say it, but you don't actually realize how lonely it can be until you are in it. So it was very cool to, you know, have an opportunity to meet more women who have done what I'm trying to do, are still doing it, and, you know, who can offer advice. And sometimes I sit around that table and realize I haven't said anything for an hour because I'm just soaking it all in. There's so much to learn about business and about just life and how to have it all.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. Tell us a little bit about your leadership journey, because you mentioned it is a bit of a transition. Once you get to that leadership, it can be a pretty lonely place. You haven't always been there though. And and within the same company, what's your journey been like there?
Yeah, my journey seems like it just happened really fast, and it wasn't really what I planned for, but I've loved every minute of it. I joined ClickStop in January of 2018 as a social media marketing manager, and I had one direct report, and it was the first time I'd ever managed somebody. So really without any formal like guidance or training, I just got in there and was really focused on doing great work and helping my teammates do great work. And I connected with the mission and the values of the company pretty much right out of the gates. And so everything I did was really rooted in this conviction and belief in what it was the company was trying to accomplish. And I just thought, I'll do whatever I can do to help accomplish these goals. And what that very quickly led to was a realization that at that time in particular, what they really needed was leadership. And I didn't know exactly what that entailed, but ClickStop has, if you're focused on the values and you're focused on the mission of the company and you're unafraid to have sometimes difficult conversations, then the rest kind of falls into place. So it happened within a few months. The team that I was leading grew from one person to five people. And we were just cranking through, doing great work. I was learning how to overcome my people-pleasing tendencies and to lean into some of those uncomfortable conversations. I was joining every book club I could get my hands on, anything I could do to learn about leadership and really about radical candor, and that sometimes the biggest way to care for somebody is to say the hard thing to them. And so the next thing I knew, I had a team of around 18 people. And then I became the chief marketing officer by about my year anniversary. And by year two, I was the president of the company and had about 80% of the organization reporting to me within the structure. And so it really just snowballed very quickly, honestly. But I still sort of look at myself as a chameleon. And because I'm so committed to what it is we're trying to do and the impact we can have on people's lives through being an ESOP and creating meaningful purpose for people in their roles and in their home life, I just continue to feel like I will go wherever I can contribute in the biggest way. And if this is the way that I can do that, then I will stretch and grow and just show up with a lot of humility, ready to learn from anybody and everybody I can learn something from. And so here we are. Wow. And so now we have, we're a company of about 200 to 210, depending on, we have some seasonal, we have part-time and full-time. And so, yeah. And I try really hard to know everybody, and to recognize people by face and by name, and, to make sure that I'm helping them on their journeys and their careers, and that they're finding meaningful purpose in their work at ClickStop too.
You know, I think the best companies today understand their role in a much bigger picture. How do you convey that, you know, to your team members? I mean, it can be, I mean, work can be a very tactical place, you know, create X and sell it to Y. You know, how do you create that larger meaning?
We take an approach where we start really big. So we have a big, hairy, audacious goal. And a BHAG for sure. I don't know why it has to be hairy, but it is. That's how you know it's wild and crazy. So we have a wild and crazy goal, and we're on this path to achieving that goal. And so we kind of work our way backwards from what this monster goal is. So what does that look like for us 10 years from now? What does it look like for us 5 years from now? And then the tactical work is really happening in the 1 year strategy. We have five different business units wrapped up under our ClickStop umbrella. So each business unit even has a tactical execution strategy for the year. And then we break that down into 90-day sprints that we call key rocks. So then every team really has their own key rocks that build to the brand key rocks, that build to the critical success factors for the year's strategy. And all of that is designed to propel us on our path to achieving our big, hairy, audacious goal. So we do try really hard to not just connect teams to the brand and the business goals, but all the way down to the individual. Every person, we're really on a mission to help them connect to what it is we're trying to do and what it means for them. I mean, at the end, we're all human and we all want to go, well, what's in it for me? And there is a very real connection when you're employee owned, when you're an ESOP, that every dollar of growth you can accumulate for the business does translate directly to wealth in your pocket as well. So it's a very empowering way of working. And we try to lean into that as much as possible, give people as much autonomy as they want and can handle. And let them, you know, turn them loose. Everybody's got their unique talents, turn them loose on the strategy and see what they can do.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
You've been working. I know you have some team members where it was not an option to be remote.
Yes.
How do you manage that today? Having, you know, teams that do have that flexibility and others that might not have as much of an opportunity.
Well, I'll be honest. It's been tough. It is hard, to find a new way of operating that still feels equitable. And really the biggest variable in it for us has been, can we maintain a culture that is consistent with who we've been when we're all in the same building? Can we maintain that and continue to build on what we're creating from a culture standpoint when some of us are in the building and some of us never are in the building? And then we have a little bit of in between too, people who kind of split their time. And in the beginning, it was really hard. And especially, you know, there's pros and cons to both. And we try to highlight that and also highlight that if the pros of one role outweigh the pros of the role that you're in, then we really try to encourage and foster growth. And there's a lot of lateral movement, up, down, lateral. People who are very explorative about their careers and say, well, I entered in this seat, but I've never done that over there. And I'm curious, and I will roll up my sleeves and I'll give it my best shot. And we have people who have been in customer service and then in purchasing and then in technology and have long careers because they see the benefit of one role that better serves where they are in their life. And they have an opportunity to go and take a stab at it and can be really successful in it. So, you know, it is still a challenge. The culture of having people in the building and other people who have the ability to work from home, there's a trade-off for sure. There's a little more flexibility in a remote role. And so we try to reward our on-site employees with bonus floating holidays so that they can use some extra flexibility, especially around the holidays. Our on-site teams, you know, we're receiving grocery or gas gift cards. During pandemic, we offered hazard pay. I mean, we really just try to listen to what's most important to people. And, you know, we can't always give everybody what they want all the time. It's an impossible task, but it is just about trying to lean in with empathy and say, what's really difficult for you about this? And how can we meet you where you're at, wherever possible?
Elevate the skills needed to thrive in today's dynamic business environment through Mount Mercy University's Master of Business Administration program. By enrolling, you are taking a pivotal step toward increasing your lifelong earning potential and advancing in leadership roles. Collaborate with expert professors, experience a modern curriculum, and graduate ready to elevate your career. Explore our program at mtmercy.edu/mba.
It's why you're undoubtedly been in a best workplace honoree, fastest growing companies list, Iowa Top Workplaces Awards. It's a pretty incredible list of successes and certainly a tribute I know you will say to your team. And I'm just going to say to you as a leader, what is it about your leadership style, do you think that helps foster those types of community and culture?
That is a good question. I wish I could take all the credit, but I can't. You know, what ClickStop has built started long before I stepped in. And I'll say that my commitment to continuing to be a place that is a great place to work, that creates opportunity for those who seek it. And we are a for-profit business. Of course, we're on a mission to be as profitable as possible and to grow every year. I mean, the things that I really try to lean into as a leader, first and foremost, is vision. You know, are we casting it in a way that resonates with every person who shows up to work every day? Do they understand how the big, hairy, audacious goal serves them? And then are we pairing them with their natural strengths so that they can do their best work, the work that fulfills them the most, so that they're really excited to come to work every day? I think that's important. And all baked into all of it, you know, we have an unspoken rule that we don't hire mean people. So it's not a documented part of our culture, but there's just no room for it. We don't allow a lot of drama. We don't, you know, we really try to just nip it in the bud whenever it happens, which means we are a culture that leans in to accountability. We try to be upfront and clear with people about what we expect. And then we really hold each other accountable to a high standard. And that can't just come from me. That comes from having a team that really believes in what we're here to do. They believe in not settling for good, but really challenging the people around them to be great. And I think in organizations where everybody counts on leadership to provide accountability, there's a lot of blind spots and you just can't grow as fast. There's not as much trust. In an organization where every employee is empowered to set a high expectation of the people around them and hold them accountable to it, then you can operate at a much higher, you know, the speed of trust. You can move a lot faster because you know exactly where you stand. You know what people think of you and your performance, and they're there to help you and make you as successful as you can possibly be. It helps everybody move faster. So I really think having the alignment around who we are and how we show up, how we work with our culture and our values, there's no settling for less than that. And then keeping everybody mobilized in the same direction so we can move really quickly. And that has definitely helped us grow. It's helped us move fast. It's fostered a sense of trust in our workforce so we can give people autonomy and flexibility, because I want to empower them and I want to believe that they're here to make the business great. And there is something in it for them too. So
I love what you said, the speed of trust.
Yeah. There's a book called by Stephen Jay Covey called The Speed of Trust. And it's a lengthy read, but there's also 7 or 8 page kind of summary of what the speed of trust means. And it really is about when you're operating from a place of trust, where you're not skeptical about somebody's intentions or wondering what they actually think of you, or you're second guessing yourself, that in an environment where you have open and honest communication and not blind trust, but the best way to receive trust is to extend it. Everybody moves so much faster because you spend less time worrying about what people think but aren't saying, and you just go and you trust that people are going to go right alongside you. And we really try to lean into that as much as possible. And I try to operate that way as a leader, make myself vulnerable and accessible and humble so that I'm receiving feedback from the people who work alongside of me, and they're there to make me better because that means I can better serve the company too.
Having served in several roles within the same company, what is different? What are some of the things that maybe surprised you once you became a leader that's different from being a colleague? I mean, you're still a colleague, but I mean, being a, you know, a teammate and then a supervisor and then, you know, the CEO, what's different?
Well, you know, in my early stages of leadership, delegation was really hard. I think because as an achiever in a contributor role, I thrived in an environment where I had a lot of meaningful work to do myself. And I could look back on my day and go, look how much I accomplished. And that felt really good. Moving into a manager role, I thought the way I was helping my team was by carrying a large amount of the work myself. And we are all working managers. I mean, I'm still rolling up my sleeves, getting in the work myself. But the epiphany came when I realized that I was robbing people of opportunities for their own growth by hoarding all the work for myself. And I thought I was helping them by, you know, helping them manage their workloads. And really, they were like, Carrie, I'm a really good writer. You could give that to me. I could write that for you. And really, and then I realized they were not only good at writing, they're better at it than me, and they could do it so much faster. And I thought, gosh, well, that's awesome. So that kind of aha moment of like, people have so many strengths. And yes. So it's crazy to think you should be the person who's great at everything. When you lean into the strengths of the team that you have, and like, you give them the opportunities to grab onto things, we can, you know, we can go so much faster. And I mean, we are all about pace for sure. I think that was a big aha moment. And now it's really about being the person thinking about the future. After being in the work so much, shifting your focus out of the day-to-day, kind of picking your head up and putting it on a swivel and saying, what's happening all around me? How can I think farther into the future, remove barriers proactively so that other people can move quicker? That was a big mindset shift. I love it. I like being in the day-to-day and solving problems right in the here and now, but I also really enjoy thinking about what we could be 10 years from now, and how do we work backwards and solve all of all of the problems that are happening 3 and 5 years out so that we don't look back and go, gosh, we should have started this yesterday.
How does this visioning happen for you? Is it in the office? Is it out on a walk? Is it in the shower? Where do the best ideas come from for you?
The best ideas for me come from collaboration with the team. It just never ceases to amaze me what other people think. And I'm a big believer in having a wide array of thoughts and perspectives and experiences. And so our ideas are significantly better when we can bounce them off of other people who think totally different than I do. And really, I'm a pretty pragmatic person. So like, I can surround myself with people who are much bigger visionary thinkers than me. And I'm a person that like, I'm going to figure out how to get it done. But I think I get really excited when we're in a room and we're brainstorming, and then you kind of hit that flow where you're like, oh, this is good. And you kind of get that fuzzy energy happening where you're pulling in a lot of ideas and then figuring out how do we execute on them. And you realize that you can, and then it starts to kind of take on a snowball effect and get bigger and bigger.
What are you reading right now? You mentioned Stephen Covey. Who else are you reading?
Yes. What is the most recent? It's called The Florence Prescription, From Accountability to Ownership by Joe Tye.
Okay. You're liking it.
I am just digging in, and actually Tim Gunther, our founder, recommended this to me. It's kind of in the same vein as No Drama Leadership by Marlene Chisholm. How do you take something from accountability and really shift it into an empowerment and an ownership mindset? It's relevant just really all the time, but it's about fostering that sense of purpose in each individual contributor, and how do you ultimately connect them with the idea for us that they're very literally an employee owner. But even in an organization that's not an ESOP, how do you foster that sense of ownership so that it's not just about me telling you and holding you accountable to something, but you really having the conviction that it's yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I'm going to imagine there are people listening that don't work for an ESOP, and it is a challenge. I mean, you have such a direct financial connection to your teams. It's a different challenge to have people find ownership without that.
Yeah, we're pretty early in our ESOP journey as well. And the ESOP really became kind of a natural progression for us because we were a culture early on that we wanted to foster that sense of ownership in people. And we don't have interest. I don't want to exchange dollars for hours with people. I want people to find a sense of purpose and energy from the work that they're doing. You spend so much time in your working life working instead of with your families or, you know, doing the other things that you're passionate about. So at the very least, we want people to enjoy themselves while they're working. And the best way to do that is to connect them with a shared purpose. And in an ESOP, it does literally translate to real funds in your retirement account. But even still, we have people who are part of our ESOP that like, money is still not the most important thing to a lot of people. But to find fulfillment and to feel like they're growing and being challenged, and then to look at the work they do and be able to say, I can pinpoint how the work I did helped this company grow, is pretty cool. And it does foster a sense of ownership, and that it definitely is more prevalent when somebody isn't being micromanaged or told exactly what to do, but they are given some curbs and then turned loose to do it how they want to do it. And they can exhibit some creativity too.
So the podcast is called Own It. So we always ask our guests, what is it, a trait in you that maybe you didn't always think was a superpower, but it turns out it is. And how do you own it?
I was going to go one way, but I think my superpower is empathy. And I actually did not think this was a superpower for a long time, because I sometimes felt or was even told I was too sensitive or that I cared too much about what people thought. What I've realized on this leadership journey is that actually those things are strengths of mine and my ability to look at a person and say, what is it that fuels you? What is it that drains you? And how can I help you curate a career that fills your bucket and doesn't drain it? And, you know, we talk about accountability and sometimes having to have hard conversations. Being an empath doesn't mean I don't have those conversations, but it does mean I show up understanding the impact it's going to have emotionally on the person on the other side of the table. So I can show up with compassion for somebody and still say something to them that's going to be difficult for them to hear. And I've found that leaning into that instead of trying to pretend like I'm unaffected has actually allowed people, I think, to open up to me more and to be more vulnerable and more open to me and the feedback that I have. If I can show up and say, this is going to be really hard, but I care so much about you. I want you to be successful. I have something hard to say, and I'm going to say it anyway because I'm here to help. And leaning into the empathy, it creates an opportunity to be more relatable for people. And I think for so long, you know, being told or conditioned that that was a weakness, you know, to be too caring or too soft keeps you from being decisive or keeps you from being objective. And that's not the case. I do think empathy is a superpower, and it's one I've learned to lean into.
Mary McCoy, thank you. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit better in the podcast world, and I look forward to seeing you at our ladies group.
Yes, please. That would be great. Thanks for having me. It was great to chat today.
Thanks again.
Iowa Woman of Achievement nominations are due July 31st. Honorees will be featured on the Iowa Woman of Achievement Bridge in downtown Des Moines. Nominate a historical woman today at WLCglobal.org. Register for our next virtual workshop, Redefining Diversity in a Multi-Generational Workplace with Carolina Caro on August 16th. Tickets at WLCglobal.org. Follow Women Lead Change on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Please give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it so much. More information and tickets can be found at WLCglobal.org.